I titled our study, Apathy. Apathy and indifference are very closely related. Actually, they are synonyms. Someone made a survey about major problems confronting nominal Christians today. And the number one problem that they arrived at was apathy and indifference. Various surveys and polls have been taken to show the condition of the religious world today. And it indicates a very deep decline in attendance at religious assemblies. I'm talking about just in the Lord's church, but it's obvious even in the Lord's church in many parts of the country. The Lord's church is in decline. And since apathy and indifference are the number one problem, according to these particular surveys, this seems to be the reason for attendance in many situations being generally on the decline. I suggest to you that apathy and indifference are not only major problems in religion in general, they are also a, if not the, major problem among churches of Christ. And so, for that reason, we're going to do a study of this particular phenomenon. Apathy. A major problem confronting Christians. Many years ago, when I was still in high school, I dated a young lady occasionally, and one of her favorite expressions was, "It don't care with me." I asked her where she wanted to go, what she wanted to do, and that was most of the time her answer, "It don't care." Well, that's kind of a strange way of saying it, but I knew exactly what she meant. Doesn't matter. That is pretty much what we're talking about. We're talking about apathy being this major problem. When you look at the definition of the word apathy, Webster says it is a lack of emotions, a lack of interest, listless condition, indifference. One apathetic toward salvation. A pathetic sight to those that love their soul. One doesn't care, then that individual in many ways is a very pathetic sight. Some synonyms are impassive, indifference, lethargy, listlessness, and unconcern. Or I don't care. I think we could safely say that this subject speaks of the lack of interest which many Christians, many members of the body of Christ, show towards spiritual things. One of the ways that you can see this particular problem is in many congregations to compare the attendance on Lord's Day morning to the attendance on Lord's Day evening. And this is not in any way talking about some who will not be here tonight due to commitments in other places. They'll be worshiping at other places for the evening service. And so we understand that. That's not the thing that we're talking about. In many congregations, the attendance on average will run probably close to half on a Sunday evening service to what it was on a Sunday morning. I know of one congregation who in the past, that wasn't the case. They pretty much had the same number present at all services. Wouldn't vary, but just one or two. That is the exception rather than the rule. And so we see this kind of thing exhibited in our church. Some attend Bible study periods and have made either very little preparation or some no preparation for a Bible study. So apathy is what we would describe as an attitude of indifference and unconcern towards spiritual things in regard to what we're discussing today. Now, apathy manifests itself in a lot of other areas of life besides the matters of religion. Apathy manifests itself in the workplace. And you can talk to employers, and I'll almost guarantee you that they deal with this kind of issue. People who don't care about the things at hand in regard to the company for which they work. So it's not just in religious things, but we're talking particularly this morning about spiritual matters. And I suggest to you that apathy can indeed destroy a congregation. If you look at the wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 at verse 18, Solomon said, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." I suppose most of you saw on the news about the building that the front of it fell off in Russellville. I don't know how much of that was due to neglect of the building, but it had been condemned. And when there is neglect to a building, over the years, it will decay. And eventually, will fall. You see this same kind of thing in many other areas of life. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." I don't know. Probably none of us are exempt from the problem of wasting time. I'm sure I waste a lot of it. Sometimes I call it resting, but it may just be wasting time. This, Solomon says, one who is slothful or lazy in his work is a brother to the one who is a waster. You don't have to tear down a house to destroy it. Just fail to repair it. The things that need repairing. You don't have to burn a field to destroy a crop. Just fail to plow and weed. I experienced that with a little garden I had this past year. Busy with a lot of other things and wasn't able to get into there and do the work at times when it needed to be done. And I'm sure that the grass and weeds that came up did hinder some of the production. We witnessed this very vividly, and when we lived in Thorne, Mississippi, they grow sweet potatoes there by the thousands of acres in that area. And you could drive down the road and you can spot the fields of the farmers who were lazy, who were indifferent. And you could also spot the fields of the farmers who were very industrious, who worked very hard. It was obvious. If we understand this particular phenomenon in the physical realm, certainly we also should be able to see this particular situation in the spiritual realm. When we neglect services, we discourage those who are weak, and we influence those who are not members to continue as they are. As was noted in our Bible study lesson this morning, people pay attention to us. That's the very reason Jesus made the statement in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we're busy doing the work that we need to be doing, not only is the idea of neglecting the assemblies of the Lord's church, but also neglecting other aspects of our work. The Lord warned about destroying his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. It takes a great deal of work, takes a great deal of diligence to keep the Lord's church pure. To keep from defiling the temple of God. That's who we are. We're God's temple. We're not a physical building. Yes, this building is kept very well. When there's a problem, there's someone who sees that it's taken care of. And so we have a very nice, comfortable building in which to meet. But it didn't happen by accident. It is not kept up by accident. It takes work. A lot of work that was done this past week. These kind of things have to be done from the physical standpoint. But what about our responsibilities in the spiritual realm? Are we active in encouraging, inviting others to come, and trying to encourage people to study the Bible with us? To actively engage in trying to help other people to come to understand what their responsibility to the Lord is? Those who are members of the body of Christ, many of them need a great deal of care. They need attention. Those that are weak need to be taken care of by those who are strong. Paul said, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so we have responsibilities. And if we're indifferent, if we don't care about those responsibilities, then the Lord's church is going to be affected. And eventually, it'll be destroyed. It'll come to naught. Because apathy causes spiritual needs to go unmet. We all are aware that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation, and it must be taught. The disciples were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15-16. Remember, Paul said in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. In John 8:32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is vitally important that we do what we can to make people understand the Word of God. It is the means that God uses to draw the lost to Him. If you go to John 6:44-45, the text says, no man can come to me except the Father with his sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. People have to hear and learn of the Father. How do they do that? Paul said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? This congregation is active in helping to support gospel preaching in other areas. We have reports on the bulletin board from men that we help to support and the work that they're doing. And so you're to be commended for engaging in this work of the Lord and spreading the gospel. But in the local congregation, those who are weak need to be encouraged. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. And that word feeble-minded there, he's not talking about people that are dumb. If you want, he'd be talking about me. he's not talking about the intellect. He's talking about those who are weak. The feeble-minded. We are to comfort them. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore to someone in the spirit of meekness, lest thou all, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have responsibility to each other. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. The way we keep the Lord's church strong is by the work that we put into the care of each other. But when apathy sets in, the work to restore and strengthen weak and wavered members just simply goes unmet. Because nobody wants to exert the energy and take the time that is involved in trying to do that kind of work. And yes, it's work. And at times I'm just as guilty as the next person. We let opportunities slip. When apathy sets in, teaching, learning almost stops. If we don't have the attitude that we want to know the truth. Well, Don Dale, who served as one of the elders of the church in Picayune, Lord, many years ago, he used to be fond of saying, you got to get your want to fixed first. And that's so true. We've got to want to. We've got to want to teach. We've got to want to learn. If we don't have that desire, that intense desire to know God's will and teach it, you remember Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10? Ezra had set his heart to know the law, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. He set his heart. He made a determination. When it comes to our worship, apathy destroys the quality of worship. I think we all understand that acceptable worship to God comes from the heart. You remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman there at the well, John chapter 4? He said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In spirit, that's the idea of it coming from the heart. It involves our emotion, it involves our feelings. God is not pleased by outward ceremony. Obviously, there are some outward indications of our worship. I'm not suggesting that we should just sit here in silence and worship God. But if we're doing it just for show, then we got a problem. In Micah chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the text says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Am I going to do all these things? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Here's what God requires. To do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. Just because we're doing a lot of things, just because we've got a lot of technology and can present these things on the screen and they look good and pleasant to the eye, that within itself is not worship. It's not even a 40-second cousin to worship. Worship comes from the heart. It involves our full concentration and attention. When we're listening to a sermon, we need to be like the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. They said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if the things taught were so. Did a lesson preaching on listening. How do we listen? We need to listen with respect for God's word. And we need to examine what's taught and make sure that it is in harmony with God's word. When we're singing in the assembly, scripture makes it very plain that we are all to sing. I was listening to the song that David led, Hallelujah. And I heard several of the ladies' voices singing the part that's really not written in the book. It's very beautiful to listen to. I heard Dottie singing, and I heard some of the other ladies singing. And it's very moving. Especially that song is very moving. It's a song of praise to God. Hallelujah. Praising God's name. And when we sing, Ephesians 5 verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We don't use an instrument of music. We don't make melody on some mechanical instrument. The melody is made in the heart. The word that's translated melody there is the Greek word solo, and that's where a lot of our denominational friends get the idea that they're supposed to play on some kind of instrument. Because that word literally means to pluck or to twang, to twitch. And so they say, you see, they were picking on or playing some kind of an instrument. Well, the passage defines the instrument that is plucked. It's the heartstrings. When we're singing the words of these songs, we're tugging on our heartstrings. We're expressing worship to God. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace, where? In your heart to the Lord. So our singing must not be with indifference. We have to care about how we sing and what we sing. Same thing is true in regard to prayer. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He goes on in verse 16, he says, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Well, especially when we lead public prayer. We need to speak in such a way that the audience can understand. They can hear what's being said, else they can't say amen. You understand the word amen means so be it. It indicates agreement with what's been said. And how can you do that if you don't understand what's been said? We need to put our heart and soul into our worship when we observe the Lord's Supper. Every Christian is to engage in this activity. As you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there in verse 24. He, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That involves each individual. This do in remembrance of me. Same way he did the cup. And he said in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, and that deals with the manner in which it's done, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Well, let me eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I have to determine within my own heart, and I need to do this in a reverential manner. Others can see by the manner in which I observe this, that I am remembering the Lord's death. When we give, every Christian has a responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, every person, the word man is used there in a generic sense. includes men and women. According as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudging or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So these acts of worship must be engaged in from the heart, but apathy destroys concentration and attention. Many times people fall asleep in the assemblies. Sometimes we daydream, sometimes we pass notes. And nowadays sometimes we check out our cell phone, see if we've got any messages or any emails or whatever the case may be. We got all things, all kinds of things that can occupy our attention. These are simply the fruits of apathy. We don't have the kind of care and concern for what we are engaged in. You see, apathy puts God second in our lives. Spiritual indifference occurs because something has taken priority over God in our lives. The seed of the kingdom becomes choked out by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13 in regard to the parable of the sower. He said that he also that received seed among the thorns, and he that heareth the word and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. When we care more about the things of this life, we care less and less about spiritual things. God will not take second place in our lives. Remember when God gave the command, the Ten Commandments to Moses in Exodus chapter 20 there in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Absolutely nothing, no one, no thing comes before God. Jesus said in Matthew 6 to verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You understand the things he's talking about? He's talking about the necessities of life. We can have those if we put God and his kingdom first. Now, he didn't promise us we'd win the lottery, we'd win over $1 billion. That's not what he promised. He promises we'd have the things that we need. Not necessarily the things we want. But needs would be met. If we put him first. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Luke 9:23. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I can't even put self before God. He comes first. God won't take second place. If God won't allow family, neighbors, friends, even members of the church before him, I'm talking about in reference to priority, he certainly won't tolerate us putting some kind of physical activity, some game or whatever the case may be, before him. He won't tolerate being placed second to our favorite TV show, our shopping, visiting our friends, or dining out, or whatever activity we decide to engage in. He just won't allow those kind of things to come before him. Yes, apathy is indeed sinful. Because it shows that priorities have been misplaced. And it will cause us to be lost. Just as simple as that. If apathy brings about all these things that we've talked about, it doesn't seem to be any doubt about the fact that it will condemn our soul. Cause us to be lost eternally. Apathy is not new. We've been studying the seven churches of Asia on Lord's Day evening, and Lord willing, we're going to finish it up tonight with Laodicea. And it's one of those that's plagued with apathy. In Revelation 2, verse 4, is Ephesus. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from which thou art fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place. Then in chapter 3, verse 1, to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy work, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Here's a church that was now dead. They were told to be watchful and strengthen the things that remained, that were ready to die. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, we're going to talk about tonight in Laodicea. He talks about them being lukewarm. And either cold or hot, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. God will not tolerate indifference. These various passages show God's disapproval of apathy, of indifference, of the I don't care type of an attitude. And so we have to conclude that an apathetic attitude toward Christ and service to Him would indeed cause us to be lost. Apathy, a major problem confronting us as Christians. And we noted that apathy is the number one problem in religious circles. And we've talked about what can be done about that. What it is, what can be done. We noted that it is indeed sinful and will cause us to be lost. So here's the problem. What about me? What about you? What's my attitude toward my service to the Lord? Do I have a real intense desire to serve the Lord to the full extent of my capabilities? You remember in the parable of the talents? The talents in Matthew chapter 25 were given according to their several abilities. One was given five, one was given two, one was given one. Everybody doesn't have the same ability. We're not all capable of doing the same things in the same ways. But every one of those were held accountable for what they were given. The talents, I believe, represents opportunities to work. Two of them increased their opportunities to work. One of them hid what the master had given him. And the Lord said, because you knew I was a hard man, reaping where I hadn't sown and gathered where I hadn't straw, you're a wicked servant. You're an unprofitable servant. Cast into outer darkness. What he had was taken from him and given to the one that had. It takes an intense desire to serve the Lord. Do I have it? Do you have it? We're going to talk a little more about this in our study the next Lord's Day and determine some things that we can do to avoid this kind of disposition of heart. It may be that there are those in our audience this morning that have been apathetic toward their service to the Lord, toward their responsibilities to be used in the Lord's work. If you ever obeyed the gospel, you need to have a change of heart. Decide that you're going to do what the Lord requires of you, to believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and then be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then the Lord will link you to His family, the church, His body. You'll be a part of the saved. And you can work and be steadfast, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you realize that you have not served Him faithfully, haven't engaged in the work that the Lord would have you to do, you need to repent and ask His forgiveness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.